Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma,
and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising healthcare costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our healthcare spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising healthcare costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Seth Richardson. He's the political reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
So as we're taping this program, the news breaks that John Kasich and Ted Cruz are going to coordinate to prevent Donald Trump from getting to the requisite number of delegates. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on this?
It's kind of an interesting strategy to make it public like this, because there's this whole Never Trump movement, and it hasn't seemed to be working so far, so I don't know why it would work now. Publicly stating, hey, we're going to go together and we're going to try to stop Trump, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, I get where they're coming from. They can split their resources. You know, Kasich can focus in some states and Cruz can focus in some others where he's stronger and try to, build that support. But it doesn't seem like it really would work to me, especially if the electorate knows about it.
Well, the other thing that I thought was interesting was one of the super PACs immediately came out and said, we'll do the same thing. We'll support them in the same way. Hello, coordination. at what point could Donald Trump suddenly throw out a lawsuit?
I don't know if he's got a lawsuit, really, because the super PAC can just say, hey, we're following the lead of the campaigns. There's probably not coordination going on as far as anything provable or anything like that. The campaign, one of the super PACs has been hitting John Kasich lately, one of the Ted Cruz super PACs, because they're saying, hey, he's siphoning votes from me. He's got no chance of winning here, so why is he still in the race? So they've been hitting him really hard. Well, with this announcement, that kind of renders that strategy moot, especially when they said, hey, we're teaming up now. We're gonna go after Trump. Well, now that super PAC, I mean, if they're going to attack Kasich, it doesn't make much sense when the two candidates have, allied themselves publicly.
It was interesting to hear Bill Kristol on this week talking about several generals that he would like to see brought up at the convention. Military generals to be the candidates or independent third-party candidates because he's disgusted with the choices that are there.
I haven't heard of the generals, but it would be interesting, especially to
the base. Real familiar ones. I mean, it wasn't like Petraeus or somebody like that. It was.
It would be an interesting kind of strategy. A lot of criticism towards candidates these days is we haven't had a candidate who's a veteran in a long time. I honestly can't remember the last one that was. And, a lot of conservatives feel that way, especially when we have this ongoing war in the Middle East. And, they want people who have military experience, although they haven't always voted that way. But they always say they want someone with military experience who can kind of help you know, settle that unrest over there.
General John Abizaid resides in Gardnerville, and I could make a phone call there, see if he's interested.
In this election, you never know.
It's kind of crazy. Charles Koch, also over the weekend on This Week, saying that potentially he could support Hillary Clinton.
That was very interesting, given who the Kochs are and what they do. They've actually focused a lot of their attention on kind of state races, legislatures, and whatnot, trying to pass it that way. But it is interesting for them to publicly come out and say, well, you know, if Trump is the nominee, then maybe we go with Hillary. I don't know the reasoning for it. I don't know why they wouldn't try to maybe get one of those third-party candidates in there or not. But I guess, in essence, that would be supporting Hillary Clinton if they got a third-party candidate.
Well, Mr. Koch talked about how, when looking at the last several presidents, he felt the best president of recent times was Bill Clinton in terms of shrinking the size of government. They said George W. Bush was a nice guy, but had expanded the role of government, and the same with Obama. So I just thought it was fascinating to hear him say even the potential that he would move towards Hillary Clinton. But then we saw that in the Silver State 6 years ago, when you saw the Republicans come up with Republicans for Reid against Sharon Angle. That was pretty amazing, too.
I mean, it's not unheard of, that's for sure. And Bill Clinton, he did a lot for business as well. You know, Charles Koch, he's a businessman. Hillary Clinton, she does have ties to Wall Street. So I could see where they could reason that, hey, you know, she might be more friendly to our interests than, say, a Donald Trump, who, I mean, at this point, who really knows what he's going to do? I mean, he's kind of this lone wolf McQuaid, so to speak, that just kind of does, you know, what he wants to do at this point, because he isn't bound by special interests like Koch. Not saying that Hillary Clinton is necessarily bound, but Trump is funding his own campaign, so he doesn't have to worry about, you know, campaign contributions drying up or anything like that.
But he is getting about 25% of his campaign financing is coming to him from people who are just sending him money, and he's not sending it back. Also interesting that he's not giving the money to his campaign, he's loaning it.
Yeah, it's interesting, but again, he is using his own money at that point, which kind of gives him a little more freedom to say and do what he wants, because he's not so and that's part of the reason why people like him, is because they see him and he says what he wants and he does what he wants, and he's not kind of tiptoeing around, you know, trying to find the way to get the next dollar, so to speak, even though I think he's a lot smarter than most people and has figured out a way to get that dollar and that support without kind of publicly doing it, so to speak.
What do you think's going to happen, though, when he inevitably has to move towards the middle, whether it's prior to the convention or post-convention, that all these people who have supported him are suddenly going to go, who is this guy?
Well, the interesting part about Donald Trump, I've talked to a lot of Donald Trump supporters, and a lot of them are very moderate Republicans, even conservative Democrats, who are kind of flocking over toward him. So I don't know that it will necessarily hurt him in the general. I think him being him might hurt him in the general. And when you have all this conservative base who's saying never Trump, never Trump, it's hard to say whether or not they'll come around. But he is going to have to move at some point a little more to the center. But that's typical with any election. You know, primaries tend to they make them more partisan, because you have to get the base behind you, and then you drift towards the middle at the end. And that's, I mean, we'll see it just like we will with any other candidate.
But if you looked at, say, the race was, and it's not going to be, but say it was between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, people, their supporters would drop off dramatically if they started repealing the ideas that they've come up with.
Perhaps that could happen. But again, if Donald Trump shifts to the left a little bit, then he's not really, I don't want to say unpopular, but he's not really courting the super far right by any. He's courting these independents and these middle of the road voters, which is what you need in a general election. You need the people who aren't aligned with a political party, but still come out to vote, and, you know, the undecideds and whatnot. So he's already got that. And, I mean, if he goes a little more left, who's to say he's not going to pick up more of those?
Let's take a break. More with Seth Richardson when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma,
and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising health care costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our health care spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising health care costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Seth Richardson. He's the political reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal. Quite the controversy going on in Nevada now over the lack of ability to vote in primaries if you're not a Republican in a couple of different races here, one in the county commission and one of the legislature. Your thoughts on this, and do you think this is going to get blown up at the next session?
It might become an issue at the next session. You know, a lot of people feel that they're not having a voice, but I mean, the other argument.
They're right.
The other argument is if they wanted a voice, they should have found a candidate to go into that primary and sent that race to a general. So there is an argument there. I would guess that we would probably see some kind of change just because there has been some backlash. So I don't know if it'll necessarily blow up, but I think it could be addressed for sure.
But, you know, let's talk about the responsibility of the voters. The voters have a responsibility to vote, which a lot of them don't do already. Mm. Is it really their responsibility to find a candidate on their side to run in an election? I mean, it seems to me that, it should at least go to the general. You know, you can make, have your top two in the primary and then go to the general, and then at least everybody gets a chance to vote.
I think logic would kind of say that, but at the same time, it's a race between, in most cases, two Republicans, so it is a Republican race. It's up to the Democratic Party to find a candidate to put in that race if they want to run in that race, especially since they knew the rules. I mean, I don't think the rules were secret to anyone by this point, but... as far as the voters are concerned, yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily their job to find a candidate. They might be having their voice kind of withheld a little bit. But if they do want to vote in that primary, they can always register as a Republican. I mean, they do have that option. Whether it's right or not, I can't really say. I mean, it's up to voters to kind of make their voice heard to the legislature if they want it changed. If they want to see those two candidates go to a general election, the biggest thing anyone can do is they can call their lawmaker and say, hey, we want this done. And then, a lot of the time, most of the time, they'll listen and try to get something done.
Danny Tarkanian has shown surprising strength in CD3. Mm. Michael Robeson must be quite shocked at how much money Danny's been able to raise. Your thoughts on that race?
I think a lot of people are probably fairly surprised by it, especially given Robeson's ability to fundraise. But that's turning into a very expensive primary, a very, very contested primary there. They're really kind of going after the throat each time they talk about each other with just constant attacks, emails back and forth, ads on TV really attacking each other. It's kind of turning into a surprisingly bloody primary.
But it'll be interesting because Danny has run unsuccessfully so many times before, but he has that Tarkanian name. And his wife, Amy, who's been a regular on this program, was the state party director for the Republican Party. So they know everybody in the grassroots. So I think in the primary, this could be quite the advantage, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Lucy Flores got an amazing boost. She had been having a lot of trouble raising money in the CD4 race. And then all of a sudden, who comes along and gives her a hand.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders coming along really helped her out. I mean, she brought in a massive haul. I think it was more than $400,000.
Stunning.
And that's, you know, in 1 week, no less. That's a massive haul. And if she can keep that fundraising kind of infrastructure going on and keep it going until the primary, I mean, she's definitely a contender, so to speak. I mean, money isn't everything, but money does talk in politics. It gives her, she's already got name recognition on top of that too, so she can spend that money on direct mailers and really reaching out. And it's nice to have a cushion, especially when you know you can always raise more money from those kind of small donors.
And State Senator Ruben Kiwan, he originally was Harry Reid's choice for CD1, got blown out by Dina Titus. Now he's the chosen one in CD3. And not only does he have Lucy Flores to contend with, but he's got Susie Lee, the philanthropist, who's also got a ton of money.
But he's also got a culinary union backing, and, I mean, never downplay the culinary union in this state. He's a formidable candidate, as is Susie Lee, because she, you know, can raise a lot of money as well. That's going to be another really bloody primary, I think. You're going to see them try to show some stark differences. Lucy is going to probably really tout her Bernie Sanders connection and try to tap into that sort of progressive grassroots movement that has sort of taken the country by storm. Whether it translates into a primary victory is kind of hard to say, but it definitely makes the race interesting.
Well, if you think the primary is going to be bloody, wait till you see the general on this one. I wanted to ask you, it seems the commerce tax is going to have quite an effect on these Republican primaries. Mm-hmm. How do you see this playing out? I've got about 20 seconds.
Republican voters are sort of split on where they stand on the tax, but they do want to know where the lawmakers stand. Everywhere I go and I hear them talk to candidates, they're asking about this commerce tax and what they would have done. You see voters angry at some of the Republicans who passed that commerce tax as well, so it's going to play a big part. I mean, it was the biggest piece of legislation passed last year, so.
To say the least. Seth Richardson, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Come back soon.
I will.
All right, we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Back in 2008, over 77,000 Nevada homes faced foreclosure, making us the foreclosure capital of America. I was determined to stand up for Nevada.
As Attorney General Catherine Cortez Masto fought back, praised by Republicans and Democrats, she held banks accountable and helped get $1.9 billion for Nevada homeowners.
I'm Catherine Cortez Masto. I approve this message because I've spent my career solving problems. Isn't that something we need more of in Washington?
TitleMax makes it easy to turn your title into cash. Just go to TitleMax.com. Find out how much you can get.
Using TitleMax.com, I got $1,400.
$3,200.
TitleMax.com got me $9,700.
Best of all, most credit types are approved. Next time you need cash, try TitleMax for rate. Try TitleMax for the amount you need. Find out why so many people are saying,
I got my title back with TitleMax.
Get your title back with TitleMax.
The spring clearance event is now in overtime. You still have time, so hurry to Carson City Jeep for clearance pricing on every new Jeep. Save on a new 2015 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo 4x4, just $30,900. Or the 2016 Jeep Cherokee Sport 4x4 for only $23,000. You wait all year for clearance pricing? The wait is over at Carson City Jeep, where Jeeps really do cost less. Thank you. See CarsonCityJeep.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we welcome to the program Marsha Burke-Bigler. She's a Washoe County Commissioner. Pleased to have you back on the program.
Nice to be.
You are a Republican, and what do you think of this whole Ted Cruz, John Kasich banding together?
Are they going to be co-presidents? I mean, how does that work? I don't know. This is all about getting rid of Trump, and... You know, okay, so Trump's an entity in and of himself, but people are voting for him. So what is the problem with letting the people decide?
You know, it's going to be interesting 6 years from now what other major TV stars decide they want to get into politics.
Yes,
because,
right.
You know, when you look back at Ronald Reagan and now you're looking at Donald Trump, mm-hmm. that may be the key at this moment in time. I want to talk to you about growth because there are three massive projects going on in Reno now, and people in Southern Nevada are probably getting sick and tired of me talking about this, but Reno is having a field day prior to the growth that we anticipate. Ranch Hera, which was the property of Bill Hera, mm-hmm. which is in South Reno, which is a huge thing, is going to be mixed-use development. Then there was an announcement about a week or so ago, the Park Lane Mall, which is another huge area that has sat undeveloped, but it's very close to the airport, close to the Pappa Mill. It's a central part of town that the same people doing Ranch Hera
yes.
are going to do that. Then Mike Van Houten of Downtown Makeover broke the story over the weekend that West 2nd Street is a project, $1.2 billion mm-hmm. in downtown Reno, put together by the architect Don Clark of Cathexis. Your thoughts on any or all of these projects?
Well, you know, I think they're all excellent projects. They're all mixed-use projects, so they're going to have some regular housing, some multifamily housing, some, you know, shops, some restaurants. I think they're
the hotel towers
yes, on 2nd Street. And so I think they're good growth projects, and frankly, that's what we need. You know, for years I've said Northern Nevada has to decide what it's going to be when it grows up. And it's decided. And so we're now starting to move forward with all of these projects that are coming together. Additionally, I think we're looking at some, we've been working with Senator Reed's office on trying to get some land deeded back to the county, a veteran cemetery for the city of Sparks. And now the city of Sparks is also looking at moving their warehousing district up onto a hill that's sort of off to the northeast of the city of Sparks. And so I think there's a lot of this that's going on, and it's all really positive stuff. The problem is, and there's always a problem, what are we going to do about schools? What are we going to do about water? What are we going to do about transportation? What are we going to do about sewer capacity? Those are factors that we all have to look at, and we really have to look at these closely as this growth continues.
Now, these projects are in the city, and you're a county yeah. commissioner. Does the city and the county get together and talk about expansion of the sewer project?
Through the regional governing board, both the cities and the county, we all work together on issues that are important. Like this. The county has no say over what type of growth either city has. So if the city wants to approve projects, the county doesn't have a say over that. But, you know, the county's the regional government, so we're responsible for traffic around cities, making sure that people can get around. We're responsible for looking at flood control and those kinds of things. Those are, of course, the regional governments are responsible for those kinds of things.
But now, aren't the developers required to bring in 1.5 acre feet of water for
yes.
every acre that they need?
Mm-hmm.
So actually, you're taking water out of agriculture to put it into city development. So in a way, that actually ends up saving water in an ironic way.
Theoretically, it does.
If you have the water.
If you have the water.
We've had a really wet year. It's April and we're snowing outside the studio this morning.
That's right. It's really great to be able to say, well, we have the water this year. But they're already saying El Nino is going away and La Nina is coming back. So does that mean we're not going to have water next year? And I think that's really the question.
All right. But you've lived here a long time,
yes,
as I have too. And I was a weatherman for 23 years. You know, despite climate change, global warming, whatever you call it, we see periods of dry and then, you know, the Sparks Marina, which is the most beautiful project,
mm-hmm.
it was a gravel pit.
Yes,
they
it was.
Said it was going to take 10 years. Bruce Breslow said it's going to take 10 years to fill this with water.
It happened.
And
in,
then we had a flood.
It happened in a matter of about 2 weeks.
Boom.
I think.
The lake was filled.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's as major a consideration. I mean, as we look at what's happening with the water, the TUMWA, the Water Authority in Northern Nevada, already said they're not going to ask people to cut back 10%, which in my view is kind of interesting because you would think, hey, you know, we should be banking some of this, but we really can't, can we? Because it just goes down the river to Pyramid Lake.
Well, you can bank if you have enough storage upstream to bank, But, you know, once the reservoirs are full upstream, and there's still a lot of snow up there to melt, and so once the reservoirs are full upstream, it goes down the river. You can't, you know, there's a certain percentage that has to go down because of the TROA agreement. And so there's a certain percentage that has to go down. And
but Lake Tahoe still has 6 feet of storage. You know, it's at the natural rim right now because they're releasing the water. But if they were to stop that, then you would have, you know, another 6 feet
and
of storage.
And it has a lot of snow yet to go in it.
Which, by the way, signifies the end of the drought in northern Nevada when Lake Tahoe is full.
When Lake Tahoe is full.
Well, we've got about 10 seconds here. The schools, the issue that we're dealing with this fall doesn't even begin to address what you're talking about.
No, it doesn't, because one of the problems with the issue that we'll be addressing, the ballot question, is that's on the come. I mean, that once the ballot question passes, if it passes, those schools are on the come. What are we going to do about people who are moving in right now?
That's great. I'll leave it. Marsha Burt Bigelow, thank you so much. We'll be right back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Big rooftop solar companies say they just want energy choice for Nevadans. The truth is, their plan gives you no choice. Big Rooftop Solar's plan forces Nevada families who don't have solar panels to pay higher power bills to subsidize rooftop solar. A government-mandated subsidy with no limits that will go up and up and up. It's not a choice. It's a mandate. And they want you to pay for it. Find out just how much it will cost at SolarEnergyFairness.com.
A lot of really smart decisions get made every day in places like this. And in places like this. Switch to the Spectrum Triple Play with the smartest TV, internet, and voice services, just $29.99 a month each. Call 844-955-2999. How smart is Spectrum? You get all your HD channels free. Plus, watch primetime shows from your favorite networks free on demand anytime. Spectrum TV for $29.99 a month. And with Spectrum, you get the fastest internet at 60 megabits per second with no data caps. That's 20 times faster than DSL with a free internet modem and bandwidth to support all those smart devices in your home. Spectrum Internet for $29.99 a month. Call 844-955-2999. And Spectrum Voice means unlimited nationwide calling with no hidden taxes or fees like the phone companies charge you. Get Spectrum TV, internet, and voice with no contracts. Just $29.99 a month each. Make the smart move. Call 844-955-2999.
Be advised. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to save 40 to 80%
on a spa and swim spa
Friday through Sunday.
Major manufacturers and warehouses clearance of new 2016 inventory.
Reno Ballroom across from Silver Legacy Casino. Over 100 spas on display and everything must go.
See the revolutionary swim spa. You can exercise, swim, and relax without the expense and maintenance of a pool.
Spa starting at $29.95.
All inventory 40 to 80% off.
18-month interest-free financing.
Trade-ins welcome.
Free delivery.
We'll even haul away your old spa.
Friday through Sunday.
Reno Ballroom across from Silver Legacy Casino.
Free admission.
Free parking.
Call 1-888-SPA-SALE.
On our next broadcast, Howard Rosenberg joins us. We'll see you then.